And now for reading and writing and radio.
Sherlock Holmes' quick eye took in my notice of his client, and he shook his head with a smile as he noticed my questioning glances. Beyond the obvious facts that he has at some time done manual labor, that he takes snuff, that he is a Freemason, that he has been in China, and that he has done a considerable amount of writing lately, I can deduce nothing else. Mr. Jabez Wilson started up out of his chair. "How in the name of good fortune did you know all that, Mr. Holmes? How did you know, for example, that I did manual labor? It's as true as gospel, for I began as a ship's carpenter. Your hands, my dear sir. Your right hand is quite a size larger than your left. You have worked with it, and the muscles are more developed. Well, the snuff, then, and the Freemasonry. I won't insult your intelligence by telling you how I read that, especially as, rather against the strict rules of your order, you use an arc and compass breastpin. Ah, of course, I forgot that. But the writing. What else can be indicated by that right cuff so very shiny for 5 inches, and the left one with the smooth patch near the elbow where you rested upon the desk? Well, but China. The fish that you have tattooed immediately above your right wrist could only have been done in China. I have made a small study of tattoo marks and have even contributed to the literature of the subject. That trick of staining the fish's scales of a delicate pink is quite peculiar to China. When, in addition, I see a Chinese coin hanging from your watch chain, the matter becomes even more simple. Mr. Jabez Wilson laughed heavily. Well, I never, said he. I thought at first that you had done something clever, but I see that there was nothing to it after all.
The author of that passage about a very renowned detective was Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. But you can write a Sherlock Holmes story, too. There's nothing to it after all.
WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Young men are here with me today from Sterling, Illinois, several hours to the north of us. I met them a couple of weeks ago when I did a workshop up there and heard them read their stories, and I liked their stories so very much that I asked if they'd come to Springfield and record them for you. Their mother has driven them down, and she's here in the studio with us, Mrs. Karen Smith, but we're not going to have her talk today. Now, I'll let you boys introduce yourselves and tell us your names and ages and where you are in school. Adam, why don't you start?
Hello, my name is Adam Smith. I'm 8 years old, and I'm in Washington School, second grade.
Okay, and how about you, Ryan?
I'm Ryan Smith. I'm 10 years old, and I'm in Washington School in fourth grade.
In the fourth grade, mm-hmm. Ryan, why don't we begin with you and your story? And we'll hear the stories very soon, but first I want to say that we began our program with a quote from a Sherlock Holmes story. Why did I do that, Ryan?
I guess because I wrote a parody of it.
That's right. He guesses because he wrote a parody of it. Can you give us the title?
Mobile Holmes and the Case of the Hound of the Basket Cases.
And any of you that are Sherlock Holmes fans know that Mobile Holmes is a pun on the name, and The Hound of the Baskervilles is one of the famous Sherlock Holmes stories. So you set out deliberately to write a spoof or a parody of a Sherlock Holmes story, right?
Yes.
And I'm sure that many of our listeners have read some of the Sherlock Holmes, and I'm sure that almost all of them know the name and the phrase, "Elementary, my dear Watson." But for those of you who only know the name, would you tell us a little bit about Sherlock Holmes? Ryan.
He lives in London in 221B Baker Street. and in all of the novels or short stories, he never did say, elementary, my dear Watson.
He never did?
No.
That's something that's grown up a legend about him, huh?
Basil Rathbone's portrayal.
Oh, okay. Well, I've learned something. So, what else can you tell us? Anything more about Sherlock Holmes? What sort of a man was he?
He was a detective who could deduce things out of...
out of shiny coat cuffs, right?
Out of piles of dust.
Out of piles of dust, even, he could tell.
Writing on the wall.
Uh-huh. And then he would put them all together.
And he'd get a description of the man.
He was tremendously popular, the stories were. Conan Doyle got sick of writing the Sherlock Holmes story and killed off his hero at the Mienkenberg Falls or something like that.
Something
you remember
like that.
The name? His archenemy killed him off. They both fell to their deaths. And such was the hue and cry of the public and the publishers that Conan Doyle was forced to resurrect him. He hadn't died after all at these falls in Switzerland.
He'd tied a rope to himself as they were going down onto a rock, and it hit him, and this guy was holding on to him, but the jerk knocked him into the rocks and killed him.
And Sherlock Holmes was saved.
Yes.
And so his archenemy was killed. Anyway, let me warn you, don't kill off your heroine unless you're very sure that your hero or heroine, unless you're very sure that the public won't mind. Holmes was a very cool-headed. He got excited and nervous on his cases, but he conducted them very unemotionally on the whole. He played the violin. He took dope, which distressed Dr. Watson, his good friend, very much, and finally he cured him of that habit in the second set of books. And if Edgar Allan Poe is the grandfather of the detective story, why, Conan Doyle is the father of the detective story. And these are famous for their deductive reasoning. And so Ryan's story is a spoof, a parody, a making fun of a very famous piece of literature. And a parody, of course, is more effective when you know the work that's being spoofed. Okay, let's hear you read your story, Ryan. Mobile Holmes and the Hound of the Basket Cases, is that it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, here we go.
Mobile Holmes and the Hound of the Basket Cases. Chapter 1, A Client. London, in the year 1895. Mobile Holmes was short and very dumb. He wore the right clothes at the wrong times, such as shorts in a snowstorm. On a Sunday, Tuesday morning in May, a homely young man walked into Mobile Holmes' office. "I am Sir Reginald Basket Case," he said. "I need you to help me with a serious problem. I have heard that you are Sherlock Holmes' younger brother, and surely you have inherited his genius." "Okay, but right now I have to go to a fancy party," Holmes said, staring all the while at his watch. So Holmes put on his purple underwear with pink polka dots and started off for the party. "But what about my case?" asked the young man hysterically. "You carry the suitcase and let me worry about your serious problem," replied Holmes as he walked out the door. "Wait here for me."
Okay, move along the pages and starting on the next one.
Chapter 2, At the Party. As he arrived at the party, Holmes noticed that many people were staring at him. "They must might like my underwear," thought Holmes. In a far off corner, Holmes noticed a man with a large, dirty white German Shepherd. The man was a tall, gaunt figure, almost skin and bones. Holmes observed the man staring nervously around while drinking a large glass of grape Kool-Aid. Holmes, being an expert detective, was immediately able to deduce the flavor of the drink. Next to the man was a table bearing a sign that read, "Grape Kool-Aid here." With this information and the purple stain on the frail man's figure...
That's okay, go on.
Holmes immediately knew that it was grape Kool-Aid.
Why don't I read the next page?
Mm-hmm.
The dog, however, was quite the opposite of the man. Large and friendly-looking, the dog was happily trying to bite the legs of the people who passed. Intrigued by the man's bizarre behavior, Holmes went over to treat him to a double deluxe mustard and bologna sandwich so that he could speak with him. Over the mustard and bologna sandwich, Holmes asked the man how he got into the fancy party with the dog. The man replied, "My dog bit the guard's leg off. Besides, if they would let someone in wearing purple underwear with pink polka dots and no pants or shirt, They would let anybody into this party. "Who might you be?" asked Holmes, highly offended by the man's insult. "Insult? I might be Johnny Carson. I might be Mark Twain. I might be Dr. Seuss. I might be Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. I might be Daffy Duck, but I'm not. And who might you be?" he asked Holmes. "I, sir, am Mobile Holmes of 222C Butcher Street." "Ha ha ha!" gasped the man. The man's chair tipped over on the floor, and the man skidded across the floor, still gasping wildly and making a bonging sound. "This is no time to be mopping the floor with the seat of your pants," said Holmes angrily as the man darted across the floor toward the exit. "What a strange man," said Holmes, as he too headed toward the exit to return to his office to see what his new client wanted. So you continue reading Sir Reginald's story, okay?
Okay. Chapter 3, Sir Reginald's Story. "What were you saying?" asked Holmes when he arrived home. "My gong has been stolen," said Sir Reginald Basket Case. "Your gong is gone?" replied Holmes. "What kind of gong is it?" "Grecian. Your Grecian gong is gone." "What does it look like?" "It is green." "Let me get this straight," said Holmes. "Your Grecian green gong is gone. What was it made of?" "Gold." "Your green Grecian gold gong is gone. How big was it?" "Gigantic."
"Where did you keep it?" asked Holmes.
"In the gazebo." "Who do you think grabbed it?" inquired Holmes. "Greta." "Who was Greta?" asked Holmes. "The gardener." "You mean that Greta, the gardener, grabbed your green Grecian gold gong, which is now gone from the gazebo." "Gadzooks, you've got it," gasped Sir Reginald. "When Greta, the gardener, grabbed your green Grecian gold gong from the gazebo, where do you think she put it?" said Holmes. "In the graveyard," said Sir Reginald. "Gruesome," gasped Holmes. "Let me see if I've got it. Greta, the gardener, grabbed your green Grecian gold gigantic gong from the gazebo and put it in the graveyard. You've got it, Guy. Can you get it back for me?" asked Sir Reginald. "Good grief! I'm a great detective. Of course I can get it back." "Great,"
I love all those
replied
G's,
Sir Reginald.
"Even the good grief and the great. Okay, go on." Oh, I've got the pages. Okay, here's Holmes Gathers Clues, Chapter 4. Holmes went to the gazebo to look for clues. The first thing that Holmes noticed was a lack of footprints. "Aha!" exclaimed Holmes. "My first clue. The thief has no feet." As Holmes continued his search for clues, he noticed the nail on which the gong had once hung. The nail was at least 9 feet up from the floor. Holmes thought that the woman would have had to have been extremely tall to reach the gong. Now I know that I am looking for an extremely tall woman with no feet. Holmes went outside of the gazebo to look for more clues. He noticed a path to the graveyard. It looked as if some heavy object had been dragged along the path. Turning his attention to the garden, Holmes saw Greta, the gardener, talking with the gaunt man from the party. Holmes approached them and noticed that the gaunt man was holding a big sack containing a round object. "Hello, sir, would you be so kind as to tell me what you have in that sack?" The man, nervously realizing that this was Mobile Holmes, said, "A sack of Frisbees and dog dishes." "Have you seen a tall woman with no feet carrying a green Grecian gold gigantic gong?" "She went that way," replied the gaunt man, pointing toward the river. And here's Chapter 5.
Chapter 5. Goodbye, Gaunt Man, Hello, Gong. It was well past midnight when Holmes gave up on the river. As he walked home, he saw Sir Reginald walking ahead of him near the graveyard. A German shepherd was following him. Holmes ran up to pat the dog. As he was short, he had to stand on tiptoe. As he reached up to pat it, his red-hot cigar touched the dog's fur. It burned the dog's fur off and killed it. The gaunt man appeared. "You may have killed my dog, but you'll never take me alive." "Oh, hello, sir," said Holmes, going up to shake his hand. The man was standing on the edge of a swamp, so when Holmes touched him, he fell in. Constables rushed to thank him for stopping the crook. The gong was later recovered from the grave of Gordon Greenbaum, where Greta, the gardener, had hidden it. Upon his return to the office, Holmes got out his banjo and decided to play while he waited for his next client to appear.
And is that the end?
The end.
The end. Okay. I find that a very humorous story, and I think your section of all the G's, the green Grecian gong, etc., is lots of fun with the
Thank
words.
You.
It's a very effective spoof. Go ahead.
Sherlock Holmes was invented from was he named Oliver Wendell Holmes? The Supreme Court Justice or something like that.
Uh-huh.
In America, and I saw a picture of him once in a book full of from 1900 to 1986 newspapers. And if you shave, he had a thick mustache, but if you shave that off, it would look exactly like Sherlock Holmes.
And you know, we can buy Sherlock Holmes-type hats and Sherlock Holmes-type coats and go around looking like detectives ourselves if we want to. And when our class goes to England, we're recording this in the spring, when our class goes to England next week, we're going to go to the Sherlock Holmes pub, and they've got a whole room there decorated with all sorts of Sherlock Holmes memorabilia. Maybe we can get you something to go with your Sherlock Holmes. Let me say to this group that's listening over the radio that there's not going to be time for Adam on this program. And so what we're going to do is we're going to close this program with a couple of suggestions for writing, and then we are going to continue it and do one that specializes in Adam Smith that you will hear next week, although we will record them both today at the same time. So let me give you some writing suggestions. This is humor. This is spoof. This is parody. And that's not awfully easy to write. Humor is hard to write to really make it funny. And some people have the gift. Both of these Smith boys have it. They both have nicely shaped stories, and you'll hear Adams's next week. But my suggestions to you listeners is, over this program, I have usually asked you to write from your own experiences. For today, I'd like you to make up a story out of your own imagination. And with Ryan's example here of a spoof or a parody on Sherlock Holmes, you might want to try a parody on Sherlock Holmes or Nancy Drew or Encyclopedia Brown or you name it, some popular story that everybody knows, and poke some fun. Or you might prefer to make up a story that is not based on any other story and just something up out of your head, some story that you'd like to tell. So thank you today, Ryan, and we will get to Adam for next week.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.